You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. I'm Andrew Musgrove and today I'm joined by George Donoghue from Leeds Live, one of the Leeds United reporters. Obviously Newcastle travel down to Elland Road this Saturday in what is another must-win game for Newcastle United. If you listen to our preview podcast with John Gibson on a weekly basis, you will hear us say that phrase time and time again and Newcastle United never seem to listen. But Joe, for Newcastle, this is a must-win game. What is the mentality down in Leeds like? How are they going to approach Saturday?
I think that the mentality is one of, you know, it's an opportunity for Leeds. Moving 9 points clear of the relegation zone last weekend with the surprise win over West Ham, I think it's fair to say. And I think with the well-documented issues that Newcastle are having, especially holding on to Leeds in games, it's definitely one which at Elland Road, I think Leeds fans and the team as well are going to be looking at this one as a real opportunity to pull even further clear, sort of maybe re-establish themselves in that sort of mid-table pack rather than the relegation scrappers.
I think many Newcastle fans had hope to drag Leeds into this fight, the same with Everton, but you know they're 10 points clear of Newcastle. Great performance against West Ham last weekend, and it's remarkable in many ways considering the issues Leeds have had, an injury list like a few others have had in recent years in the Premier League, and yet they're looking relatively comfortable considering the issues they have had.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, the injuries have been scarcely believable. Yesterday, Bielsa said in his press conference that Patrick Bamford had picked up a new foot injury. I mean, he originally got injured with his ankle at St James's Park back in September, came back from that, scored an equaliser in a 20-minute run-out against Brentford and injured his hamstring in the celebration. So that kind of just summed up the luck that Leeds were having. But I mean, it's still the likes of Bamford, Cooper, Calvin Phillips, Jamie Shackleton, Junior Firpo, Adam Forshaw, all out of this weekend's game. Quite a lot of those muscle injuries, but still managing to put a team out, still managing to win games. And ultimately, that's what's separating Leeds from Newcastle at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Newcastle have only won once this season against Burnley, and that came from an error from the goalkeeper, really, which Callum Wilson pounced on. Of course, Newcastle, without Callum Wilson, they have, of course, bought Chris Wood from survival rivals Burnley. A lot of money spent on him. He hasn't scored too many goals this season, but Newcastle United fans, I think, realistic in their expectations of this January transfer window and quite happy to see him come in. Didn't really get the service in the previous game against Watford. How will Leeds deal with Chris Wood? I mean, you know, the fans know all about him considering his time there.
Yeah, I mean, the fans know exactly what he's like. He's played at Elland Road earlier this month when Burnley came to visit on the 2nd of January. Didn't really get a sniff that game. Had one or two chances which kind of he flashed over the bar, but didn't really get too many opportunities. But I think that was more a reflection of Burnley's style of play. But in terms of dealing with Chris Wood, I think tomorrow it will be the game. They'll deal with him with Diego Llorente and Pascal Struijk at centre-back. And last week, Struijk came back from 6 weeks out injured. He did a real number on Mikel Antonio. And I think that'll give Leeds fans some encouragement that they can, put the shackles on Woods, maybe try and match him physically, because that's not always been the case this season with the various injuries they've had in defence. So to have two really strong competitors like Struijk and Llorente, we'll probably give them the best chance of handling Wood. I mean, there's no guarantee, and there's no guarantee that Struijk will have the same game that he did at West Ham. But physically, he's the one that I'd say is closest to being able to handle Wood.
Eddie Howe was asked about Chris Wood in his press conference this morning, and this is what he said. He said, "I thought he played well last week. We isolated him after we scored, and that was very evident at the time. With Chris, we need to get bodies around him and he needs to be supplied. And if we can do that, he'll prove very effective. So anyhow, there has essentially given Leeds a bit of an insight into the bit of the game plan Newcastle will go with on Saturday. And it was evident that he wasn't getting the supply against Watford. They put in the attempted just six crosses in the second half, and only one was deemed complete. I'm not even sure that actually got to Wood. How will Leeds deal with what we assume will be pressure coming down the flanks from the likes of Kieran Trippier and whoever starts, maybe Javi Manquillo on the left wing back? How will they deal with that?
I mean, fullback has been a position which has been, you know, quite contentious this season for Leeds. They brought Junior Firpo in from Barcelona at left back, but he hasn't really hit the ground running yet. He's had COVID, he's had injuries, he's got a new injury now, so it would be unlikely that we'll see him tomorrow. So Stuart Dallas has basically played right back, left back, central midfield, you know, whenever he's been needed. And I think Dallas is a very reliable customer. You know, he's very solid, you know, no frills, but, you know, consistently a 7 out of 10 wherever he plays. I think we'll probably see either Dallas or one of the new lads, one of the under 23s, Leo Helde, at left back. So that would be, you know, that would be the task in trying to sort of deter Trippier from whipping those balls in for Wood. On the other side, I think it's probably likely we'll see Luke Ayling, who I'd say is probably, I mean, he's a very, very tricky customer if you're an attacker, because he's very wily. You know, he's very good at just getting that little tackle in, which just retrieves the ball at the vital moment. And going forward, he's a threat in his own right. You know, last season, I think it was him and Adam Webster for Brighton who, you know, carried the ball the most yards in the Premier League. And, you know, to put that into context, it was, you know, it was remarkable. But I think Leeds at the back anyway, in defence, you know, they've had their injury issues. But this week, if you're able to put out a back four of Ayling, Strike, Llorente and Dallas, I think that's very, very close to probably the strongest back four that you could realistically put out. And obviously with Ilan Meslier behind that, who's been in reasonable form as well. You know, if there does become sort of an aerial bombardment on Meslier's goal, with Trippier whipping them in and Wood being the target, I think Wood will be in for a fight there, because, you know, they're quite imposing figures. That, you know, they're heart on the sleeve, die for the badge, that sort of thing.
It's going to be interesting to see, not just in this game, but the games after, how Newcastle change their style and approach, because you have Chris Wood, who, as we've mentioned, needs the service, needs the balls into the box. But then you have Alan Saint-Maximin, who isn't the kind of guy who likes to put the ball in the box. We know what he likes to do. He likes to run at the defence, try and beat his man a dozen times before actually, you know, having a shot on goal. He is Newcastle's biggest threat because Callum Wilson is out injured. There are some frustrations growing amongst the fan base because they feel he holds on the ball too long. We saw a couple of examples against Watford when a touch was there and he could have just put the ball in the box, but he decided to go back on his man. Of course, he scored against Watford, superb individual goal. And that's what he can do. He can spend 80 minutes frustrating and then have 30 seconds of brilliance like he did against Watford. How are Leeds going to deal with the Frenchman?
I don't think there's a game plan for how you deal with a player of St. Maximin's quality. I mean, we saw it at St. James's Park earlier in the season. It was funny because I was watching that game against Watford, and the goal that he scored was exactly the same as the goal that he scored against Leeds, you know, cutting across the box and then shooting to the goalkeeper's opposite side. And you think it must be the second or third time he's scored goals like that this season. It sure goes to show that, you know, Premier League defences can't handle that. You've got to double up on him. I mean, Leeds have a man-to-man marking structure. So, you know, you've got to think, I mean, whoever is going to be marking him, whether that is Luke Ayling, whether that's Diego Llorente, they're going to have their work cut out because, you know, we know how tricky he is on the ball. I mean, all your listeners will know, I mean, watch him week in, week out. And, you know, he's done it to a lot better defenders, a lot more prestigious defenders. So in terms of a game plan, it'll probably be a case of just trying to, when he gets into those dangerous areas, doubling up, just trying to block his route to goal, just slowing him down and, you know, making him more frustrating to Newcastle fans. Because if you slow him down and he's constantly thinking about trying to beat the man rather than just play a simple pass and taking two players out of the game, then I think that's the most effective way of trying to nullify him.
We've got a few questions here. This one from Graham Harden, who would be your centre-backs for the match? That's obviously aimed at the Newcastle United side. We know Newcastle have tried to get Diego Carlos into this week, the Sevilla defender, and that hasn't happened as of yet. Eddie Howe spoke about frustrations this week and how they'll have to keep plodding on next week to try and add additions. So we don't expect anyone to come in before the game. I mean, the cut-off point is midday on Friday, and here we are 10:45, so it would have to be something rather quick to get that sorted before the game against Leeds. Centre-back-wise, on a Newcastle, I would actually play Dummett alongside Jamal Lascelles. However, given that Matt Ritchie has picked up a knock and Eddie Howe said they would have to assess him, he said in his press conference, Matt Ritchie has a knee problem, so we'll have to assess him. So they're going to look at that. So I don't think he'll be playing tomorrow. Jamal Lewis is back, but he's just come back. He's barely had any training. So I think they'll keep Paul Dummett at left back. He played well, considering it was his first game in, well, a heck of a long time. He was unfortunate that the cross came into the box for the Watford equaliser. And I think Eddie Howe will stick with Fabian Scher and Jamal Lascelles just simply because he has no other options, because, well, he hasn't got anyone. So it doesn't matter how bad they do play. I think that's all he's got to play with, unfortunately, until they do get a new defender in or two new defenders in. Who will be the main man, Joe, that the likes of Jamal Lascelles and Fabian Scher have to stop?
Well, if it's Lascelles and Fabian Scher, I think that the likelihood is it'll probably be Daniel James, because Bielsa's typically used James as a false nine, in sort of a quite a fluid sort of free moving front three whenever he hasn't had Bamford or Gelhardt or Rodrigo available. We think Rodrigo probably will be available, but we don't know whether he'll start him in centre forward. He might start him in midfield in the number 10 or number 8 position, which would still allow for Dan James to play that false nine role. And I think, I mean, last weekend, James gave a real, a real hard go of things to Issa Diop at the heart of West Ham's defence, to the point where he was eventually substituted off, and West Ham fans were notably quite pleased about that, because James had just, he pressed him into oblivion. And I think if I was looking at it from a Newcastle perspective, I'd be maybe a little bit concerned about the flightiness and the pressing that Leeds will do from the front to the likes of Lascelles and Fabian Scher, because Jamal Lascelles is not the most comfortable player on the ball. He's not the most mobile centre half. So you've got to wonder, how is he going to deal with Daniel James being on his every touch?
Yeah, no, 100% agree with you. I think a lot of Newcastle fans tend to watch the moments when Lascelles is on the ball through their fingers, because, like you say, he's not the most comfortable on the ball, and they're continuing to try and play out from the back. I don't think that works at the moment. It's obviously a style that Eddie Howe is looking to implement, but I don't think they've got the personnel to play out from the back. When you mention, Leeds like to press high, Newcastle are going to have to be right on top of the game tomorrow, and I do fear if they do try and play out from the back, they will get punished. What are Leeds United's weaknesses? If you were Eddie Howe today, you're having the team meeting, what is the number one weakness you're putting on the whiteboard?
It's probably wrong for me to say, given how he's performed recently, but defensive midfield is typically the Calvin Phillips role. That is, everybody knows the way that he plays, breaks it up, sprays passes, that sort of thing. But Leeds have typically found it quite difficult to mitigate his absence. And he's out until March, so he won't be playing tomorrow. For the time being, Robin Koch has been in there, who, typically is a centre half, but can play defensive midfield. He's played there for Germany. He's played there for Freiburg in the past, but he doesn't quite offer the same mobility that Phillips does. That is probably where I'd be thinking, well, maybe if you can win the battle in Newcastle's number 10 position, in Leeds' defensive midfield position, if you can win the battle there, then you can fashion some opportunities from outside the area, maybe, maybe playing a few passes into the box if you get on the other side of Robin Cox. So probably looking at that. But going on the back of last week, it's difficult to pick out a weakness per se, because the team did play really well as a unit. So it probably would have to come down to that defensive midfield sort of mitigating Phillips' absence.
if my maths is right, over the last six games, Leeds have only picked up two more points than Newcastle United. But there seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, a kind of contrasting with the confidence within the camps, because we saw against Watford when Newcastle scored, they arguably scored too early for Newcastle United because they didn't have the confidence to then go and get a second to kill the game off. They sat back, they invited Watford on. Is it a fair assumption that if they do the same against Leeds United, that will play into Leeds' hand because they like to just like, you know, press Newcastle and go for goal?
Well, yeah, I'd say it would be quite similar to the game at Elland Road last year, which obviously ended 5-2, Newcastle taking the lead in that one. You know, it's kind of like prodding the bee's nest with Leeds sometimes. If you get the opening goal, you know they're going to come back at you. That's a given. So it's a case of, you know, how do Newcastle approach the game? Because, again, score too early, sit back. You know, we all know how many points Newcastle have thrown away from winning positions this season. I think it's the most in the league. So, I mean, Leeds fans will be looking at that record thinking, well, I can take stock and take encouragement that even if Newcastle do go a goal up, that's probably not the end of the tape. So, it's from a Newcastle perspective, it's definitely a tricky one of how you approach the game. Do you go in there trying to frustrate and, you know, sit really deep and hope to hit Leeds on the break and ask them to come on to you? Or do you go for a ding-dong battle and try and win a 3-2?
And has the confidence remained throughout the camp at Leeds despite the injuries and despite, you know, not picking up too many points over the previous few months?
Confidence-wise, I'd say, I mean, it goes game by game, really. I mean, sometimes it's very despondent because of the severity of the injuries, whereas I think not too many. I mean, it's obviously a blow having Bamford out, but it's not the end of the world because we saw how the team can still fashion opportunities, still can score goals. I think whenever you've got Rafinha in the team, in the starting 11, when he's fit and firing, that's always going to give, you know, teammates a lot of confidence, going to give fans a lot of confidence. That he's always able to do something. He created seven chances by himself last weekend against a team who are, you know, trying to qualify for the Champions League. So he's got that potential. I think he's a key reason why that confidence has, I wouldn't say remained high, but it's remained on an even keel. You know, it's never been too low. It's never been too high throughout the difficult periods when, you know, the Man City game and the Arsenal game where Leeds were beaten 7-0 and 4-1. It's kind of, they've rallied since then and taken it game by game.
We've got Tell Magpie Ross here saying, hopefully Wood will get some service. You may shoot me down, but I looked at Gail to play him up top with Wood. Now, Gail's just returned to training this week, so I don't know if that'll be too soon for him. Obviously, Eddie Howe hasn't given anything away other than saying Gail has returned to the training base. So it would be interesting to see if he's available more after. Yeah, it might come a little too soon for Dwight Gayle, but certainly maybe something to look at in the future. Roger asks, Joe, could Joe Linton nullify the threat? I think he was talking about your previous point about kind of the issues in the centre of the park for Leeds.
Potentially. I mean, Joe Linton's a player that I really like. I think his work rate's excellent. And I think with Leeds, you've always found that they've found it difficult to deal with players who are, you know, physically quite imposing, but also their work rate matches their own. Potentially. It's not something I'd considered, to be honest. And I think, I mean, we've seen the sort of resurgence of Joe Linton recently, haven't we? I think he's definitely got a big part to play because if he... You know, if he's pulling wide and maybe, you know, dominating the physical battle with, you know, a Luke Ayling or a Stuart Dallas going forward, he could be a threat. But also in terms of, you know, the ball coming back the other way, I think that just having that presence could definitely cause Leeds a few problems.
So Eddie Howe spoke about Leeds in his press conference. He said they have a way of playing and there's a lot to admire about Leeds out of possession work. They play with a really high intensity and we have to match that. This is a totally unique game and we have to be ready for what we're going to face. We've mentioned it's going to be a difficult game. How much of an impact do you think the crowd at Elland Road will play, getting the atmosphere whipped up? I mean, we know up at St James's Park, the Asset fans are. Is it similar down for Leeds?
Yeah, I'd say it's quite similar. I mean, at St James's Park in September, when Rafinha's goal went in, you could feel sort of it was stirring up, you could feel the passion and the emotion. and then just a bit of a release when St. Maximin scored. It's kind of similar to that at Elland Road. You know, there's always, you always go into the game, you know, it's always a good atmosphere before kickoff. And then, you know, particularly the stand, which is next to the away fans, when Newcastle fans will be tomorrow, the south stand at Leeds is really, really vocal. And you know, shows really good support. I think, you know, Bielsa mentions it in pretty much every press conference, you know, the support of the Leeds fans through difficult times. You know, he's been able to count on that. And he says it's incredibly valuable. In terms of how much it'll play a part tomorrow, I mean, no more than it has in any other home game. I think it might have that little bit of added edge with it being Newcastle, and sort of the proximity and the, you know, the historical clashes that they've been at Elland Road, because, you know, there'll obviously be a lot of fans there who remember those games when the two teams were fighting at the other end of the Premier League table. But yeah, I mean, it should be a really good game atmosphere wise, because I think you'll get the Newcastle travelling support, who obviously travel in number, travel loud, and the home fans as well. They'll put on a show, I think.
Yeah, so as you may already know, the away end is sold out. That's always going to be the case for Newcastle United when they travel. In terms of how Bielsa is approaching this game, what did he have to say in his press conference regarding Eddie Howe and Newcastle United?
Yeah, I mean, he was asked a few times about Newcastle and Eddie Howe, whether they're a different proposition now under him. And he said he's found a system, he's found a habitual group of players and an 11 which repeats itself regularly. And he says he's evened the team out in all of the games. So he's clearly done his homework on Newcastle. He said that in terms of their levels of performance, they've been close to all of their opponents in all of the games that they've played under Howe. And he said, he finished with saying that all talks positively about the job that Howe's doing at the moment. So I think he definitely has noticed a difference in the team, especially in sort of the pre-match analysis, sort of looking at how a team sets up and maybe sort of identifying a style. I think that Leeds have definitely, I don't know whether that plays into their hands, that it makes them more predictable. And you know, the unpredictability factor of Newcastle previously was something which, you know, you couldn't legislate for if you were like Leeds and playing a man marking system. But I think Leeds will go into it with a clear plan of how to play the game. I think they're going to know how Newcastle want to play. They're going to know how Eddie Howe wants to play. He's shown admiration, but Bielsa shows admiration, you know, for every manager when he's asked about them. It's just, you know, one of the many platitudes that gets trotted out in managerial press conferences, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. And before I ask you for your result prediction, we don't tend to do scores, we just tend to do results and everything is Black and White podcast. I just want to know how you think Leeds United fans are approaching this game. Do they wake up tomorrow and say, this has to be 3 points, we're expecting 3 points? They look at Newcastle and they just think, you know, they're in a dire situation, performance-wise, result-wise, form-wise, everything's playing into Leeds United's hands.
I think they'd be looking at this as a game they'd very, very much like to win. I think last weekend's result, the win over West Ham, has meant that the pressure is less because of how many points they are now clear of the relegation zone. Winning tomorrow would definitely put them in contention to be, you know, arguably already safe from the real relegation trouble towards the end of the season, because I think 12 points, given how many points the teams down there have got at the moment, would pretty much be insurmountable for all three of them to get out of. So I think it's not a must win from Leeds fans' perspective. I mean, some will disagree with me inevitably, but I think it's a game which is more than anything an opportunity just to put a stamp on things, just say, look, there was a few worries earlier on in the season about maybe getting dragged into the mess. This is what's happened when, you know, when Leeds play teams who are below them and around them, you know, typically have always beaten teams at Elland Road who are around them and below them in the Premier League. So Leeds fans will be looking at that going, it's a real chance to just separate ourselves.
It's definitely a must win for Newcastle United, even more so if you see Watford win tonight, or even if Norwich beat Watford. You know, I think the draws there is the best result for both Newcastle and the teams below there, well, Burnley below them. But yeah, I can't see Newcastle getting a win, unfortunately, against Leeds. I just think the second half against Watford was just alarming, and unless Eddie Howe's somehow managed to boost you know, their confidence and change the game plan to supply more crosses to Wood, but then that probably nullifies the threat of St Maximin. It's a very difficult dilemma for Eddie Howe to sort out, because to effectively give Wood the service, you are going to have to change St Maximin's game plan of just running at defenders, and that's not something you really want to do. It's not a task I envy. So it's going to be interesting, but I do see Newcastle unfortunately losing tomorrow. How would you see it going?
I think if the pressure was on a little bit more, I might have gone with a score draw. But I think the second half against Watford, as you mentioned last weekend, kind of showed that, you know, there still is a little bit of a soft underbelly there. And I'd say Leeds are probably a better team than Watford. They're more reactive than Watford, and if they were able to come back into the game, then I think Leeds would be able to put Newcastle to the sword. Because I think they do have that quality. They do have the resilience and the will to go for 90 minutes. So I think it'll be a high scoring affair. I don't think it'll be too many clean sheets, but I think it probably will end up being a Leeds win.
Fingers crossed you're wrong. Fingers crossed I'm Newcastle do get 3 points, because here at the Everything is Black on my podcast, we know how important those 3 points would be for Newcastle United. To you guys listening, thank you very much for tuning in. Please head over to chroniclelive.co.uk, where we'll keep you up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news, including everything you need to know about the remaining few weeks of the transfer window, Eddie Howe's look ahead to the Leeds game. And if you like and follow the podcast as well, that would be much appreciated. And I hope you have a lovely weekend.